With God's help, I desire that we would turn together and read from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter number 24. This chapter is in the sequence of trials and questioning that Apostle Paul went through as he went towards Rome. And it says, "And after 5 days, Ananias the high priest descended with the elders and with a certain orator named Tertullus, who informed the governor against Paul. And when he was called forth, Tertullus began to accuse him, saying, 'Seeing that by thee we enjoy great quietness, and that very worthy deeds are done unto this nation by thy providence, we accept it always, and in all places, most noble Felix, with all thankfulness. Notwithstanding that I be not further tedious unto thee, I pray thee that thou wouldest hear us of thy clemency a few words. For we have found this man a pestilent fellow, and a mover of sedition among the Jews throughout the world, and a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes, who also hath gone about to profane the temple, whom we took and would have judged according to our law. But the chief captain, Lysias, came upon us, and with great violence took him away out of our hands, commanding his accusers to come unto thee, by examining of whom thyself mayest take knowledge of all these things whereof we accuse him.' And the Jews also assented, saying that these things were so. Then Paul, after that the governor had beckoned unto him to speak, answered, 'Forasmuch as I know that thou hast been of many years a judge unto this nation, I do the more cheerfully answer for myself, because that thou mayest understand that there are yet but 12 days since I went up to Jerusalem for to worship. And they neither found me in the temple disputing with any man, neither raising up the people, neither in the synagogues nor in the city. Neither can they prove the things whereof they now accuse me. But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets, and have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and unjust. And herein do I exercise myself, to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. Now, after many years, I came to bring alms to my nation, an offering, whereupon certain Jews from Asia found me purified in the temple, neither with multitude nor with tumult, who ought to have been here before thee and object if they had aught against me. Or else let these same here say if they have found any evil doing in me while I stood before the council, except it be for this one voice that I cried standing among them, touching the resurrection of the dead, I am called in question by you this day.' And when Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of that way, he deferred them and said, 'When Lysias, the chief captain, shall come down, I will know the uttermost of your matter.' And he commanded a centurion to keep Paul and to let him have liberty, that he should forbid none of his acquaintance to minister or come unto him. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, 'Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee.' He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might loose him. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus came into Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. I've read the entire chapter. May God bless the reading of his word. Let me all bow before the Lord in prayer. I greatly appreciate the words that we shared together in prayer. Simple petition of the Lord, yet so powerful in its meaning and its potential to impact and guide and help us, that we would simply be ready to hear what the Spirit would speak to us. And that with God's help, we would apply things that we learn. It is a very simple thought, and is something that we probably speak quickly and often. But to take it to heart, and to truly follow through, is not so easy. It's much easier to do as Felix has done. To hear the words of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, and tremble, and even have some kind of emotional response where we realize and understand and know that something was said for us to hear, and we feel bad about it, we feel convicted that some change must need to be made. Quickly, a distraction comes. How quickly some other piece of news comes to our ears, and we forget. Or we say, not now. Why do we say not now? For some, the words of righteousness, temperance, and judgment reveal something to our hearts that we don't want to see, and we would rather avoid. And we reject the idea of examining ourselves out of hand. Yet these times when we listen for the Spirit to speak to us and allow his word to penetrate our hearts and our minds, if we go beyond simply the surface examination of the things that we'd like to see and let the word penetrate, we will find that if we're honest with ourselves, we will come to a point of great need. We will see ourselves more poor than the beggar that was laid outside the beautiful gate, more sick than the leper and in need of healing, and finding that there's no one else that we can go to but to the Lord to provide the true wealth and health and strength for our souls. And we'll realize how much we need the mercy and grace of God. Jesus spoke to the people and described two individuals that went up to the temple to pray. One man who was a Pharisee, and he prayed, "I thank thee, God, that I am not as other men, extortioners, wicked, sinners, like this publican," and extolled himself of the things that he had done, fasting twice in the week, giving alms of all that he possessed. He was quite content to allow his time of self-examination to be only on a surface level. And the surface things that he had hoped to project and to show to other people. And he was very, very happy with what he saw. But there was another man who could not feel that he was worthy to look up. He beat upon his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus said, that man went home justified more than the other. And Jesus has a word at the end of that account where he says, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. The one that humbles himself makes himself ready to receive the grace of God. For Peter tells us that God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Did you know that when the Word convicts you and speaks to you of a change that needs to take place, or some area of growth that the Lord is speaking to you and your life about, that that's an opportunity for you to be made ready to receive the grace of God? And if you do, as the Word has taught, humble yourself, that God will provide. He will provide His grace to help in time of need. And who will walk away from this place saying, we do not need the grace of God? We are all in need. But if the self-examination is left to the surface level, we will say, no, everything's good. Like Felix, I know that stuff. I have that knowledge. I will know the uttermost of your matter. I understand. And everything's fine. But if there is no purging, if there is no examination of depth to review the reality of our hearts and lives, what will become of our growth, our spiritual fruit, and our connection with Jesus Christ? It's a scary thought to think, I don't need the grace of God. I don't need His empowering work in my life. If that's true, that's like a branch saying, I don't need the vine. But we know that's not true. For those who would resist the work of God to prune and to examine our hearts and our lives, there's not much that can be said other than you are resisting the Holy Spirit. You need to look into the Scripture. You need to believe and you need to repent. Aside from that, there's not much hope that can be given. But I believe that I'm persuaded better things of those who are called according to the name of Christ. And that most of the time, it is not with such callous disregard that we hear the Word of God and then don't make it really take a hold or reveal our need for grace, such that we come to God with a contrite heart, pleading for Him and His mercy. It's more often that we get distracted. Something else comes up. Somehow we didn't put it first. Or we forget how easy that is. Or we think of what it means to self-examine. And we picture a person who lays all their heart before the Lord and goes through such a thorough change of life, and it seems so overwhelming. Where do I begin? How can I start? Or we read the scriptures that talk about Christian growth and maturity and perfection. And we think, wow, perfection? No, forget it. But Jesus does want us to be mature. He does want us to grow. And the Father does want to do pruning in our lives. And it doesn't happen automatically. We need to be trained. And we need to be willing. If you find yourself as one who knows that that's true, and maybe even have a desire for it, but can recognize there's been times when I was convicted and then I just got busy with some conversation with somebody after church and never followed up with it, or was called to examine ourselves like we were on Wednesday night, and I knew it was true and nothing really came out of it. The Word of God offers hope and help. And sometimes we are overwhelmed with the calling that we've received. And often that's because we're trusting in ourselves and not looking as fully into the face of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is able to subdue all things to himself. He's able. And we have no doubt of that. And he sees everything. He sees the truth of our life and our walk. Nothing is hid from him. We know these things. But somehow, we're content with the plateau. We compare ourselves with each other, and we think, well, I'm pretty spiritual. I'm kind of living the life of what Christians are around me. The Word teaches us that if that's our case, then we're not wise, and calls us to go beyond that and to see our need for God's grace. How can we approach God when we feel that conviction that something needs to change, or that we should and ought to be trained by him, be pruned by him, and be examined by him? Sometimes we don't know where to start. The scripture gives us examples of individuals that asked questions when they needed help. There were many that asked John the Baptist, "What shall we do?" And to all the men he said to repent and be baptized. But he gave specific instruction to publicans. He gave specific instruction to soldiers, something that they could take hold of. And when we become overwhelmed with where do we start, perhaps consider the hats that you wear, the positions that you hold, the roles that you fulfill. For fathers, how does God want me to grow as a father, as a priest of my home, as a teacher and trainer of the children? Sisters, in the many hats that you wear, how can I be a better friend? How can I be someone to put their confidence in me, that we can share one another's struggles? Perhaps it is in our work. How can I be a more faithful servant in my work? How can I reflect the values of the kingdom of God in the place where I make money to provide for my family? Or when I'm alone, how can I reflect God's truth and follow Jesus Christ when nobody else is watching Does that matter? Does God care about that? See, when we look at all of our life and think everything has to change, and we do, we need to surrender all of our lives. But if we don't even start anywhere because we're overwhelmed, then start with what you know. You know the frustrations that you experience in your role and in the various hats that you wear in life. How can I be a better son or brother in my family? How can I be a good big sister to the many young ones that are coming up? When you ask for something specific, you can expect more specific answers. And my hope and prayer is that as you reflect on your roles and the hats that you wear, and you ask that specific question, what can we do in our life, in the place where I find myself right now, that the Lord would answer you in such a way that he would give you a taste of what it is to surrender. And that having a taste and seeing that the Lord is good, that you would grow in your appetite. And from that starting point, that you would continue and to grow and to add other areas of your life and see that God can be trusted and surrender your all. And you will find, at one time you thought that was overwhelming. But when you see the grace of God supporting and providing for your needs as you commit that one thing to him, you'll know what Apostle Paul told Timothy. Timothy, who was entrusted great responsibility, probably felt overwhelmed at times, Apostle Paul instructs him. I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him until that day. What have you committed? Have you committed that role? Have you committed that area to the Lord and asked him, Lord, I need help with this? Because I can't. I'm overwhelmed. And I need to begin. I need to trust. God will provide for you. The disciples asked Jesus, how do we pray? And among the many things that Jesus taught them to pray was to pray for their daily needs. And that can be very helpful for us as we consider how we can examine our lives in the light of God's word and have it make an impact. Because our lives are big. They have a lot of things going on. And we can become overwhelmed. But consider today. Have you ever walked with the Lord through your day? At the end of the day, and reflected upon how you woke up, the prayer and the thought that was on your mind when your eyes opened, how you greeted the first person that you met, what you thought, how you handled situations, and one by one bringing them before the Lord and say, Lord, I don't know how to deal with everything, but what would you say about this? One thing at a time. Walk with the Lord through your day. And you will find that you will reflect upon how God's grace was given to you, and you will overflow with thanksgiving. You'll find those opportunities that you had and that you missed, and that the Lord will show you how to be better prepared for next time, with God's help. But we begin with the things that we know. Everybody knows what they did this morning. Scripture says that the spirit of man knows what's in the soul of man. We know our thoughts and motives. We know our intentions. And sometimes we know that they were wrong. And we don't like admitting it, but it is best when we can simply be honest with the Lord. You know, this example of Felix comes up. My understanding is that his marriage to his wife Drusilla was not legitimate, and that he was a very perverse person. And so when Paul talked to him about righteousness and temperance and judgment, you know, Paul was one of the greatest Christian teachers that has ever lived, apart from Christ himself. And we might think, well, maybe if my teacher was better, then I would be able to really do what I'm supposed to do. It's not really true. The themes of righteousness and temperance and judgment went contrary to Felix and his life. And I don't know if he knew how to deal with this. Did he just dismiss it? Did he obviously trembled. He felt something. But feelings are not a sober reflection of our lives in the light of God's word that bring us to a point where we seek God's grace. Maybe he was hoping, I need to know exactly what the solution is before I even begin talking about the problem and being open with myself and with God. And I need to have a nice, clean package so that there's no consequences and I can kind of dodge every bullet and get through this without being scathed and without feeling hurt. We want it nice and clean, and we want to know that everything's okay. Hasn't always been the case. And that's not always going to be the case. That we know exactly, step by step, how we're going to walk through. With the exception of the fact that it will be by faith in Jesus Christ. That is what we know. That's how we have victory. But in terms of the details of the day, we sometimes don't know. But it's helpful. It's helpful when we don't know what the next step is, simply to open up to the Lord and to share, this makes me frustrated. This makes me disappointed. I don't know how to deal with this. Or this brings me into a place where I'm starting to get tempted. And wait and listen. And be honest and express, this is not what I want. This is not what the word calls me to. Lord, I need the help to overcome. But honestly, this is where I am. And I need you to guide me step by step. The Lord will hear those prayers of a contrite heart that recognize his need for help and a desire to grow, desire to be closer to him. And that's an exercise of faith, to take a step and wait for God's guidance to help us with the next one. but simply being content with the plateau of spirituality that compares myself with the people around me, we won't take that step. We will be like the Laodiceans, not too hot and not too cold, and that's not a good spiritual place to be. But God offers his grace to help those who recognize that they need it. It can be overwhelming when we don't know. But God knows all. Psalmist writes in Psalm 19, "Who can know his errors? But cleanse thou me from secret faults." Paul writes to the Philippians. He speaks about the about winning Christ and to be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, and to know him and the power of his resurrection. And after that, he says, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." This is the Christian calling. And he says, "Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded." Any who are truly growing and abiding in Christ, following his commandments, they will be giving their all to press toward the mark for the prize of God in Christ Jesus. So have this mind that is totally devoted and seeking to please the Lord. And as many as are perfect and mature and developed in their Christian life, they're going to be minded like this. They're going to continue to grow. "And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you." There are things that we don't realize about ourselves, that when we begin examining and we begin letting the light of the word speak to us, God will reveal. We can become overwhelmed with the things that we don't know and we're not sure about. But when we need them, God will open our eyes. There's a beautiful verse in Deuteronomy chapter 29 that says, "The secret things belong to the Lord, but the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children, that we may keep and we may do all the words of this law." See, you begin with the things that you know. You know your position. You know your roles. And those are the things that God has called you to shine in those corners and in those areas. You know the things that you did today, and you can review them with the Lord. You know what's going on in your heart, your intentions, and your thoughts, and the results. And you can express them. Isn't it funny how when we worry about things and then we tell somebody, sometimes, doesn't it seem like something not so bad? When we finally share it, we say, "Well, when I say those words, I realize I know what I need to do. I need to replace those fears with faith. I need to replace that self-centeredness with service to the Lord." And he opens up our understanding when we open up our heart and our needs to him. This is a good start. And yet we know that there must be follow through. There must be the application and carrying on. There must be faith. We must believe the word of God, because there will be challenges and Satan does not want us to make progress. But the one who has begun a good work in us, he will be faithful. That is where we look when we need to be seen and examined to the Lord, from whence comes all of our help. May each of us seek to take one step in faith and taste and see that the Lord is good, and grow in an appetite that, yes, we can examine ourselves in the light of Scripture, that we want to begin somewhere, and take a step, and then one more. And God would lead us into a life of service in his kingdom. May God bless his word. Amen.
You know, I'm amazed at God's power and his spirit when it works among the brothers. And, you know, you talk to fellow brothers, and the two brothers have the same song in mind when they pick a song during service, or in this case, a portion of scripture that was referenced that God placed on my heart as well. In Philippians chapter 3, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you." Brothers and sisters, this is our desire, to want to be perfect, to be complete in Jesus Christ. And as we had this portion of scripture, this opportunity for Paul to share his testimony to Felix, this word that stood out to me, this word convenient. You know, brothers and sisters, it's never going to be convenient to be exhorted or admonished or corrected. My dear friends, it's never going to be convenient for you to make that decision to give your life to God. You know, being a Christian is not easy. It is not convenient. Well, I appreciate the account that was referenced in Luke about the Pharisee and how he looked at himself. And in Luke 18, as was referenced, this Pharisee thanked God that he was not as other men are. And he listed all the good things that he did and does for the Lord. Brothers and sisters, we have the tendency, and we can fall into the same trap, to think more highly of ourselves and to not want to take any exhortation or admonishment and to not self-examine, because it's not convenient. You know, when you talk to a new soul who's recently been converted, they typically don't think very highly of themselves. They are just so thankful. They have such a joy and a peace because they feel that forgiveness of their sins. They feel God's Holy Spirit in them. They've been sealed with that Holy Spirit. And yet it seems that we can fall into this trap, brothers and sisters, the longer that we are in faith and we're not on guard and we're not seeking the help of the Lord to become like a Pharisee and to just start listing our attributes and start listing our own righteousness before the Lord. You know, a brother recently shared back home in Colorado that we all have a little bit of Pharisee in us, which is why we have to die daily. We need to kill off that part of our flesh that wants to resurrect. And it's not convenient, and it never will be. Whether you've been a believer for 10 years, 20 years, or 50 years, Satan knows what he's doing. He knows how to get to us, brothers and sisters, if we are not turning back to the Lord and asking him for help. I was reminded in Ephesians in chapter 4, the latter part of this chapter, if you go from verse 17 all the way to the end, if you take time to read it, it's comparing how we used to walk in our former life before having the Holy Ghost in us and being renewed in the Spirit and being this new man. But Apostle Paul writes, it's such a beautiful way how he says it. Ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. Verse 21, a big if. If we find ourselves, brothers and sisters, where we do not want to self-examine and correct because it's not convenient, we really need to turn back to God and ask him, have we really learned the truth of Jesus, the truth that is in Jesus? And as Brother Robert mentioned, we can't do this on our own. We need God's Holy Spirit to do this. And in a way, that relieves so much of the burden. It lifts it off of us, and we can have that joy that we don't have to worry about trying to do it ourselves because we have God on our side helping us to do this. So let us not be discouraged, brothers and sisters, because it's inconvenient to self-examine and to correct ourselves. But rather, let's take comfort and a joy knowing that a father who loves his child wants to chasten his child and correct him. So when God chastens us, let's have joy in that, knowing that he is our Heavenly Father. He wants to correct us because he loves us so much. May God richly bless his word this afternoon. Amen.